Remember last week I was talking and I reminded you of what happened if you ever watched the old Saturday morning cartoons and the Saturday morning cowboy movies, which were a staple whenever I was a kid, which means, you know, Saturday morning, 9, 10, 11, somewhere around in there, they had the Saturday morning cartoons and then the cowboy movies. And in the cowboy movies, there was always that point where, you know, the good guys were pinned down and the bad guys were surrounding them and they were shooting at the good guys and they were all ducking and they were all hiding and it looked like all hope was lost. And then the voiceover would come in and the voiceover would say, "Meanwhile, back at the ranch." And they would show all the other good guys getting ready who were going to come in and ride to the rescue and to deliver them. And we talked about Ruth chapter 4 and verse 1 where things have been awful. And then all of a sudden in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 1, the scripture says, "Meanwhile," and it flashes back to what's going on in the city where Boaz is getting ready to be this wonderful redeemer and this wonderful savior for Ruth and for Naomi. Well, this is the flip side of that. Remember last week we talked about the good part where, "Meanwhile, back at the ranch," they were getting ready to come out. This is, "Meanwhile, back in the rocks, all the good guys are ducking and it's looking really, really bad." Because that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. He's talking about, where do you find strength to deal with an uncertain future? When you are pinned down, when it feels like fire is coming in from everywhere and you're not sure whether or not you're going to get through to the other side, where do you find the strength to keep going? Where do you find the strength to face an uncertain future? Two or three times this week, I've had either phone calls or text conversations with people who are in that situation, who have just been overwhelmed with the incoming fire of things that threaten in their mind to take them out of the game. They feel like, and I got a text yesterday that said, "You know what, when is it going to end? When is this going to stop? When is it going to be over? What is it going to take for us to get through this and get to the other side?" When you're feeling that way, I had a friend remind me of something about 6 months ago, and he said it to me this way. I was having a conversation with him about a different kind of situation, and he said to me, "You know what? Either we believe the gospel that we preach, or we don't. If we believe it, then we have to live like we believe it. Even when you're hiding and it feels like fire is coming in from every different angle and you're wondering whether or not there really is anyone back at the ranch getting ready to ride to the rescue." Notice what Paul says to us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, when he talks about strength for an uncertain future. It says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we're clothed, then we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent," talking about this body that we have, "we groan and we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it's God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." See, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in this passage of Scripture about how do you deal with an uncertain future? How do you handle what is going on when it feels like you're taking fire and you're taking damage and it's hurting from every side around you? That's where he has just come in the book of Corinthians, right? Remember, he says, you know, we have survived, and he's talking about this journey that it took for him to get to the Corinthians and what happened to him in Asia. He said, you know, we felt like we were going to lose our life. We felt like we had come to the end of our life, and yet God delivered us. It's been incredibly difficult for him and for them to this point, and now they're not sure what comes next. So the first thing that he says to them is this. He says, listen, you need to understand something. You need to know that this body that you have, it's not you. This body that you have, this physical tent, he calls it a physical tent. This is not you. Anybody remember a friend of ours used to come here all the time to preach for us, Rick Amato? Anybody remember him? He had some of those weird sayings. He had a weird saying that it took me a while to catch on to, but he has it absolutely right. He said this, we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. Because, see, that's what we think. We think that what we are at the core is this, and that we have in there somewhere a spiritual being, which is true, but that this is what is most important, and that this is what is real, and that out there somewhere in the heavens, in the future, in eternity somewhere, that is the illusion thing. That's the thing that's coming, but this is what is real. And no, it's opposite. We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. Listen, we are spiritual beings. That is the essence of who we are, who for a little while have a physical presence. And when you understand that, you get a grip on this thing that says, this is not us. This is not me. Now, look what he says. Now we know. With all the uncertainties going on around us, with the future that makes us wonder what in the world is going to happen, Paul says here in this verse and in the subsequent verses, there's a few things that we know, some things that are settled, some things that are just absolutely set in stone. We know that if this earthly tent, and isn't that an interesting way of describing this body that we have? He reaches back and he takes the word that was used to describe the tabernacle that the children of Israel had in the wilderness. Remember that tent that they set up and they broke down every time that they moved? It was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was glorious. It was a place where they met God, but it was not the final destination. It was always temporary. And Paul said, listen, keep in mind, this is not you. What is really you, what is really important is that spiritual being that is on the inside, that person that is made in the image of God and that is created to dwell with Him forever. Because we know that when we have a relationship with Christ, that informs everything in our life. Because we know that this body is not us. While we care for it, we provide for it, we steward it, it is a temporary dwelling. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in, and destroyed isn't probably the right word, if it is taken down. You know, the Boy Scouts go camping. They set up the tent, right, Jay? And they strike the tent. They take it down. They set it up because they're going to be there for a couple of days. And when that time is done, they take it down. And that's exactly the image that Paul uses right here. He says, this body that you have, God just set it up temporarily. It's just a place you hang out for the weekend. And when he's done, he's going to strike the tent. He's going to pack it away. He's going to put it down. And you're going to go on to your earthly dwelling. Because notice what he says here. Because we know that this is just a temporary thing. It was never intended to last forever. Peter told us that. We saw that in the Psalms. Peter said, all men are like what? Grass. They are here today and gone tomorrow. This physical body, it's never intended to last forever. This, once you settle that, when you get that settled in your mind, it lays the foundation for everything else he's going to say. This is not me. It's the person on the inside that God is focused on. It's that spiritual being that he is the process of forming and creating and making in his image. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and then he's gone. First thing we got to know is this body is temporary. Okay? Second thing Paul says to us is this. He says, we know that God has something better for us. Don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Don't be afraid. God has something better for you. For we know that if this earthly temple we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. An eternal house in the heavens built not by human hands. We have something better. Isn't that exactly what Jesus told us in John chapter 14? He said to him on his way out, he said, don't worry. It's okay. In my Father's house, what? Are many. Now, he doesn't use the word mansions. It's the translation that we have. He calls it dwelling places. He said, a lot of places to live up in my Father's house. This thing that you got, don't worry about that. It's okay. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, hit the pause button and think. You got a master carpenter making a place for you in heaven. He's spending 2,000 years getting it ready. Oh, that's going to be a nice house. Isn't it? That's going to be a nice place when you get there that Jesus has made for you to dwell with him. That's what Paul says. We have a building from God, an eternal house in the heavens. This one is temporary. It's not going to last. That one is eternal. We have a building from God. We have we would call it a glorified body. Remember after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he came back and he interacted with the disciples on a number of different occasions? Acts, I think it's chapter 20, 27, one of those in there, says to this, it says, they were in the upper room, they were upstairs, and the door was locked, and all of a sudden, Jesus was there. The physical body that he had, the glorified body that he had, did not bear the same limitations that this physical body has. It's similar, yet it is different. He was able to eat. He was able to talk. He was able to interact with him. He even said to Thomas, he said, look, he said, Thomas, you said you wouldn't believe unless you put your finger in my hand and in my side. He said, here I am. Go ahead. Here, come on. Come do this. See, we have another dwelling place. And it is eternal. It is not temporary. It is created by God for us specifically. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. The body to come is going to be so much better than the one that we have because it's made by God specifically for eternity. And Paul says, listen, in the midst of an uncertain future, when you feel like what you've got is going away, and you wonder what's going to happen, he said, remember, this is not you. It never was. God's got something better for you. He's preparing it. He's getting it ready. And the one that he is coming, the one that he is creating, is better than the one that you've got. And then I love this. This is where the meanwhile part comes in. Meanwhile, we groan. That's why I said this is the flip side of Ruth. Ruth, it was like, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the good guys are coming. They're riding to the rescue. They're loading up their pistols. They're getting their rifles ready. And Paul says this. He says, this world in which we live in, there's a place up there that God has prepared, and it is glorious, and it is wonderful, and it is amazing for you. But meanwhile, down here, we're taking fire from every side. You ever feel that way? It's just some days it's just like, you know what, it's just awful. And here's what you got to understand. We know that the time here is difficult, but it's going to pass. it will not last. It will pass. I got a phone call, a text from somebody this past week, and they were talking about what was going on. And I was telling my wife this morning, so they wrote and they said to me, "Hey, you know, when is this ever going? Why is this happening, and when is this ever going to end?" And I said, "What I wanted to do was just text back two words: because and it never." You ever feel that way? Why is this happening? Because. Sometimes we don't have an answer. We don't get that answer. Now, here's the reality: there is an answer here, but it doesn't feel like we have an answer, and we don't like the answer sometimes that God gives us. And in this life, Jesus told us, I don't know why we don't remember. He's looking at his disciples and he said to them, "Okay, guys, here's what I want you to remember. In this life, you will have what? Trouble, tribulation, trials." He told us that. See, our problem is that somewhere deep inside, we really want to believe that guy on late night TV who tells us that that $50 seed promise that we'll send him will make it all better. We want to believe that, don't we? We're like, you know what? It's only 50 bucks. I think I'll try it. Maybe he's right. No, he's not. Meanwhile, Paul said, we groan. The word means we pray under our breath. God, where are you? Will you help? Meanwhile, we are burdened. It means to be weighted down. He says, meanwhile, we are longing to crave something strongly, to intensely desire it with everything that you have. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. We want that which God has promised us is better. For while we are in this tent, we groan and we're burdened. But what we're hoping for, and I love the way that he phrases this, what we're hoping for is that that which is mortal, that which is designed to die, because this body is going to die. He said, we're praying for it, we're desiring it with everything that we have, that it will be swallowed up by life. The life that God has promised us. You see, here's one of the major misunderstandings about Christianity that we have got to come to grips with. I had a friend of mine tell me when I was on sabbatical 12 years ago, and he said, "Dennis," he said, "do you know how the devil works in your life?" And I'm like, "No, but I think you're going to tell me." And he said, "Well, just go back to the Garden of Eden and watch. And here's what happened. He slides up beside you, and he whispers something in your ear, a half-truth. Thou will not surely die." The snake said to Eve. He whispers that in your ear, and you begin to live on that half-truth like it is reality. And then after you've been living on it, he lets you for a while, he lets you live on it. And then after a while, when you finally rested your full weight on it, he pulls it out from underneath and you come crashing down and you look around and you're like, what happened? You see, here's the reality that you have to come to grips with. We constantly are praying. And we believe God is going to remove the difficulty or remove us from the difficulty of life. But what he promises is that he will give us the strength to endure, to prevail, to overcome, and to walk through it. And that's a significant difference. Because you see, we're praying for the wrong thing. We're praying, God, will you make it better? And he's going, no, I'm not going to make it better. It's not my goal. My goal is to make you better. Does that make sense? Because you see, this is not the real. It's not the reality. This is not the reality. The reality is there. It's in here. And he is committed to making us in the image of his Son. And if that means we have to walk through the trials of life in order to get there, to chip away some of the stuff on the outside and to sand off some of the rough edges, then He's going to let us do that. There's an old story of a guy that was walking by a stonemason on one of the cathedrals in Europe. And he's watching as this stonemason is shaping this piece of stone. And this guy works on it with a hammer and chisel for days. Finally, he can't stand it any longer. And he goes to the fellow and he's like, "Look, will you explain to me what you're doing?" He said, "Because I see you chipping away and chipping away and measuring and chipping away and chipping away." He said, but what are you doing?" He said, "Listen, now what I'm doing is I'm shaping it down here so it will fit in up there." And that's what God is doing with you. He's looking at you and He's going, "You know what? There's a few things over here that Paul aren't just quite what they need to be. So we're going to chip away at that. We're shaping it down here, that inner man, so that he'll fit in up there. So you'll be ready for what He plans to do for the rest of eternity. Because you see, this, it's not the real thing." That's the half lie that we're living on. We're living like this is the most important. And it's not. It's not. It's just a short span. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Maybe you're going to be one of the outliers and you're going to be the 120-year man or woman, right? Still going to be gone just that fast. As compared with eternity. We pray, "God, take it away and make it better." Instead, God says, "No, I'm going to make you better." Because God is more interested in your character than He is in your comfort. But now look at the promise that Paul makes. It's one of the certainties that gets us through those times of uncertainty. He says, "What is mortal, what is temporary, this thing is going to be swallowed up by life." And literally what it means is it's going to be gulped down. It's going to disappear just like that. And here's the kicker. Look at this. So we pray that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now look at verse 5. "Now it is God," look at it, "who made us for this very purpose." This life, this thing that we have, this thing that we are doing, is all about shaping us down here to get ready for what He's going to do with us in eternity. And the reality is, we are only going to successfully navigate this life through faith. We have to know, we have to understand that this life is tough, but God can get through us. But the only way through this is by faith. And we don't like that. It was interesting. I read about between 10 and 20 commentaries every week on people who preach and taught and studied whatever particular passage of Scripture that I am going to preach on that week. And out of the 20 or so that I read this week, there was one. Now you would think that this little minor verse that Paul references here, "Therefore we're always confident and know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord." Verse 7, "We live by faith and not by sight." You want to know how to live? You would think that if you're a pastor and somebody has just written, the Apostle Paul has written you under the inspiration of God, a verse that says, "This is how you live." You might want to make a comment on that. I read 20 books. You know how many commented on it? One. Just blew right by that. I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing?" He's telling us how to navigate this life. He's telling us how to successfully get through to the other side. We live by faith and not by sight. Two opposing ways of life that we all find ourselves in. I'm going to live on what I see, what I observe, what I know, what I choose, what I think, and what I believe. That's by sight. It's all about me. Or I'm going to live on faith. I'm going to live with what is visible, what is provable, what is observable in this world. or I'm going to choose to live on what God says. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't taste it. I can't confirm it. I can only read it and choose to believe it or not. And Paul says, if you want to get through this life successfully, you want to navigate where you are while the meanwhile is going on, and you're taking fire from every side, and the future is uncertain, he says, you better understand this. The only way you're going to make it is by faith, by trusting Him. Because if you trust yourself, what you can see, what you can touch, what you can taste, what you can feel, what you can prove, you are setting yourself up for disaster. Paul contrasts the two. And then he reminds us, he said, listen, faith has always been the pattern of God working in the life of His people. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's a beautiful picture. That word for substance, you know what that word means? The substance of things hoped for. It means it is the it's used in a multiple different kinds of ways in extra-biblical literature, but it talks about that which is the support for something else. If it is a building, which it is sometimes used for, it is the foundation which supports and holds up the building. If it is a contract, which it is quite often used for, the substance of the contract is the good faith of the person who signs their name on it. It's sometimes used as a title or a deed. The piece of paper that says that building, that property belongs to that person. And that which verifies it is the substance, the contract underneath. What will get you through this life, what will support you successfully as you navigate, is what God says to you in His good faith word. I got the opportunity this past, whatever day it was, a week or so ago, to watch the movie with my wife. And just so, in case you're interested, I have bad news. Bad news. I haven't even told my wife this yet. I read somewhere that Hallmark has, is it 34 or 37 new Christmas movies coming out this year? I know. I saw the tears start to trickle right there. Yes, I did. Oh my gosh. It's true. I read it. It's on the internet. I had this. I was sitting with my wife. We're watching Jerry Maguire. Okay, now that's one I can live with. It does have the "you had me at hello" part, and it does have all that other stuff, you know. You complete me. It's got all the good stuff in there. But there's another one in there that I thought about when I was reading this. It's when he sits down with the star football player's dad, and he looks at him and he shakes his hand. And he says, "Well, you know, Jerry," he said, I don't do contracts." He said, "But you need to know, my word is my bond. It's stronger than oak." And of course, he goes out and what? Breaks his word. You see, we're used to that. That's the world we live in. And so when God looks at us and He says, "You're going to live by faith. You're going to live based on my word." Everything around us screams, "Don't do it. You can't trust anybody. They're out to get you. They're going to betray you. They're going to let you down. They'll look you in the eye and they'll shake your hand and they'll tell you, it's okay. My word is my bond, stronger than oak." But when the time of decision comes, they don't follow through. And yet God said to us, if you want to successfully navigate this life, the only way you're going to do it is by trusting me. We live by faith. and not by sight. And what that means is this. It's very simple. Faith is no more and no less than simply taking God at His word and living based on that. Needing no more than His word to stake everything in your life on. Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, created in the heavens, handmade for us. And the title deed to that property, listen to me, the title deed to that property is God's word when you stand on what He said. And you have to make up your mind if you can trust Him or not. And if you do, when the meanwhile is happening and the fire's coming from every direction and you face an uncertain future and you don't know what comes next and whether or not you can get through to the other side, then you just listen for Him. What did He say? That's good enough. That's all I need. We'll only successfully navigate this life by faith. And here's where he ends up. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. I know that sounds trite. I actually went back and I Googled it. I looked for some stuff on YouTube to see if I could find that song. Anybody remember that song, "It'll Be Worth It All When We See Jesus"? I found it, but it was really dated. It was really old. I couldn't bring myself to bring it in and play it. Because I like bluegrass, but not everybody else does. See, Paul is talking about uncertainty. But he finishes, and this is interesting, he spent the whole 9 verses in these 2 paragraphs talking about uncertainty. How do you find strength to face an uncertain future? But then he closes the discussion here with something that is absolutely certain, which is it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I finally found something that Granny Hedgepeth was wrong about. I've told you about her before. She's my maternal grandmother. Second grade education. Not a very spiritual woman at all. But quite, quite wise. I've learned a lot from some of her sayings. Most of them are kind of funny and humorous. But she told me something. You say it all the time. I finally realized it's wrong. She said, "Denny," her and my dad were the only 2 people who ever called me Denny. Please don't. "Denny," she says, "only 2 things in life are certain." You've heard it, right? You know what they are? Death and taxes. Only two things in life are certain: death and taxes. And you know what? She was absolutely wrong. April 15th is coming up. You don't have to pay your taxes. They will come get you if you don't. Okay? You don't have to pay them. You don't. I know a lot of people who don't pay taxes. I talked with somebody one time. They said, "Pastor, I have a little tax problem." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, I hadn't paid taxes for 15 years. I owe $27,000. I'm like, "Yeah, you got a tax problem, and it's not little." You don't have to pay your taxes. You don't have to die. You might, probably will, but you know what? Trumpet might blow, angels might sing, Jesus might come today. Dave, we might not die. Right? I'm ready. Every once in a while I get up in the morning, I'm like, just in case. Just in case, I want to be ready. Granny was wrong. You don't have to pay your taxes. You might not have to die. You don't have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He will not force you. You can choose to reject Him and not believe. You don't have to live by faith. You can choose to live a miserable Christian life, acting like you don't know Him, not trusting Him, not believing in Him, not walking by faith, but instead walking by sight. You will navigate this life, but not successfully. You don't have to walk with Him. You don't have to serve Him. You don't have to spend time with Him. There are a lot of things you don't have to do. Granny was wrong. But you know what? There is one thing. Oh, you might want to write this one down. There is one thing that you have to do. I guarantee you, there is one thing that is absolutely true for every man, woman, boy, girl has ever walked the face of this earth. For we must. When God says must, you might want to write that one down. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. There is one thing that is certain. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews says it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And see, here's the reality that Paul is writing for us. We live here in the meanwhile. We live here with the uncertainty. But if we do it well, if we realize that this is not me, that woman on the inside, that man on the inside, that's the real you. If you live like you got something better waiting for you on the other side, if you live like it's tough here, but by faith and trusting God, I'll get through to the other side. When you get there, it'll be worth it. Go home and YouTube it. Get some of that old gospel stuff. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You see, that's how you live in uncertainty. With a certain assurance that when we get there, and if you know Him, you will. It'll be worth it all. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today. Lord, I pray for those who I know feel like they're living in a moment of trial and tribulation and burden and weight and pain that is overwhelming. The what-if monster has raised its ugly head and whispers in their ear every single morning, every single day. What if? And then it paints for us the most awful picture imaginable. God, I pray for Your Spirit to counteract that. That we would be people of faith, people who live not according to what we see, even when everything around us screams death and uncertainty, that we can plant our feet, set our heart on things above, and walk through this life trusting You. God, help us. In the meanwhile, to lean on You, to trust You, to carry us through to the other side. For God, I know You are always faithful to Your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.